The subject of our study tonight is found in the book of James. James chapter 2, I want to read verse 1 through verse 4 from the New King James Version. James chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4. James said in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' that is, in a place of honor, and say to the poor man, 'You sit there,' or excuse me, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' in a low place, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" When one is a respecter of persons, as these were, to whom James is writing, he's already done some kind of judging. He's reached an opinion, he's reached a conclusion in regard to the thoughts and the reasonings that he's had in regard to these two individuals. These judgments had come out of evil thoughts, evil motives, some versions say. Evil reasoning is the idea. That is, their reasoning in regard to the opinion or conclusion they arrived at is evil, it's wicked, it's bad. Had they not been judging with evil reasoning, evil motives, they would have not decided to show respect to persons. They would not have decided to show partiality. It's evil to judge that a rich man deserves honor and respect and preference over a poor man simply because he's rich. This indicates something about our motives. Is it that we think the rich man will prosper us in some way? Do we have some kind of selfish intent behind our reasoning why we would choose a place of honor for the rich man, as if he would reward us by showing esteem or honor to him, to which we know that the poor man could not? Perhaps there's some selfishness in such evil reasoning or evil motives. There is certainly, as James, inspired of the Holy Spirit, said, there is certainly evil reasoning or motive behind it. I want to study this idea of judging with evil thoughts with you tonight. Judging with evil thoughts. But as we look at this subject of judging with evil thoughts, we must be reminded of the very fact that we are required to do some judging. Now, this is nothing new to us. We know this. It's kind of a reminder. Because there are some who say, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. As a matter of fact, they'll find a passage or two, maybe three in the New Testament that says don't judge. But believe it or not, you could perhaps find 5 or 6, 10 or 12, even more, to show that you are to judge. So we must understand that even though we're not to judge with evil thoughts, we are required to do some judging. It's undeniable according to the Scriptures. John 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous or just judgment." So Jesus commands judging. Acts 4 and in verse 19, Peter and John before the Sanhedrin Council said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." Peter and John, inspired of the Holy Spirit, told these on this occasion to judge. Surely if all judging was wrong, they would have not told them to judge. Same thing is true in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 15. Paul said, "I speak as the wise men." Of course, they were not wise men, but they claimed to be wise. "I speak as the wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say." So Paul told the brethren at Corinth to judge. In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 13, he said, "Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Judge." 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 29, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge." So we can see over and over again that We're commanded to judge in some things. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. So there is judgment that is to take place. So all that say, do not judge, do not judge, do not judge, should be put to silence by all the passages that tell us to judge. So there is some judging that must take place. But even though the Bible requires us to do some judging, it also requires us to refrain from judging where we're not supposed to judge. Where we're not supposed to judge. Matthew 7 and verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So men are required to do some judging, but we're also required not to do some judging. It's clear from the teaching of the Scripture that that is what is under consideration. Men are to judge with righteous or just judgment. Righteous or just judgment. That is, just judgment is judgment rendered from right motives. Jesus said in John 7 and verse 24, we noted a few moments ago, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is just judgment. It is ethical judgment. It is, you might say, even a legal judgment. It is free from any kind of pretense on our part, any kind of bias, any kind of prejudice, any kind of selfish thought, any kind of selfish motive that we may exhibit. That is just judgment. It is fair judgment. It is judgment that is right and proper, that ought to be done according to the facts of the case or of the matter, the truth regarding the matter. Just judgment. The word just here is translated righteous. We might say that just judgment, because it's translated righteous here, it could also be translated just. But that which is righteous, remember, is always in harmony with the will of God. So if we judge with just judgment, our judgment will be according to God's standard and not man's standard, as we'll see later on in our study tonight. Men are expected to judge, and we're expected to judge between that which is right and that which is wrong. Some passages we already noted in Acts 4 and in verse 19. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. On this occasion, they were not to speak any longer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whether that was right to listen to them or to what God had commanded them to go and to preach the gospel to every creature, they were to be the judge. We have to make a judgment between that which is good, that which is evil, that which is right, that which is wrong, that which is truth, that which is error. We're expected to judge, and we're expected to judge in matters regarding those things with just judgment. We need to free ourselves from any bias, free ourselves from any selfish motive in the judgment. Free ourselves from any prejudice we might have. And all of that is hard to do. Hard to do. But it can be done. If it could not be done, then God wouldn't require of us to judge with just judgment. It can be done. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 15 again, I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Judge for yourselves. Could they judge for themselves? They could. And what kind of judgment do you suppose Paul is telling the Corinthians to use? Just judgment. Free yourself of any bias. Free yourself of any prejudice. Be fair in your judgment. Be equitable in your judgment. Judge according to God's standard. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 13 again as well. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? During this particular period of time, as in many Eastern countries today, women covered their heads. And it was the custom of that particular period of time for women to cover their heads. And so, Paul says, make a judgment. They were to free themselves of any bias or any prejudice they may have. They were to free themselves of any selfish motive in regard to the judgment. Is it proper or right? So they could choose whether it was proper, right, or wrong. They could make the judgment, and it could be a just, fair, and equitable judgment according to the truth of the matter. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 29 as well. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. The prophets, of course, are prophets who are speaking by the inspiration of God. All prophets could not speak at one time in an assembly, and so two or three were to speak, and the other prophets were to give judgment in regard to what was said, because they're inspired prophets as well. Now, the prophets could judge whether the truth was being taught or whether error was being taught. And it was to be a just judgment. A judgment that is according to the righteous requirements of God's will, no doubt. Free from any bias, free from any prejudice, free from any selfish motive. Think about that. Perhaps one prophet stood up and spoke that which was not in harmony with the revealed will of God. And another prophet sitting by knew that. But the prophet that spoke that perhaps might have been a good friend of this prophet. Could he judge with just judgment? It was his good friend. Could he remove bias from his heart? Could he remove selfish motive and just and present a fair or just judgment in regard to the matter? That's what he was called upon to do. So men are expected to judge between that which is right and wrong, that which is truth and error, that which is wickedness, and that which is good and proper. Is it not strange that this is the very thing that people object so much when they say, do not judge, do not judge, do not judge? The kind of judgments that we're called upon to make. The kind of judgments that we're called upon to make are the very judgments that people complain most about. When you try to render a just judgment, separating yourself from any bias, any prejudice, any selfish motives in the matter, just judgment that is right and proper and ethical, those are the judging or the times of judging that people complain most about. And they simply say, you're judging and the Bible says not to judge. But considering the teaching and the practice of others is what we're called upon to do on many occasions. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So how are we going to know who's a false prophet? Unless some kind of judgment is made. As a matter of fact, we'll know them by their fruits, by that which they're producing, that is, that which they're teaching. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. That which they produce by their teaching, you'll know them. You'll be able to judge whether they're teaching that which is truth or that which is false. And so when we render just judgment in regard to people who are teaching the truth or teaching error, we need to remove any kind of bias we may have, any kind of selfish motives we may have. We need to render just judgment in regard to them. We need to use God's word as the standard, whether they're teaching the truth or not. But the same thing would be true in order if we were judging one's conduct or one's behavior. One's conduct or one's behavior might be measured by the truth of God's Word. And sometimes even judgment regarding one's character, one's behavior, has to be judged. But it has to be judged with just or righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 and following, Paul said to the Corinthians, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. And such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I indeed, as absent in the body but present in the spirit," note this, "have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed." So Paul is calling upon the Corinthians to make a judgment in regard to this matter as well. Now, the text doesn't tell us, I'm sure, perhaps he may have had family members in the congregation as well, the young man. He may have been friends, close associates with some in the congregation. How could you judge properly and judge with just judgment if you were prejudiced toward him or against him? You had some bias against him. Perhaps he had wronged you in times past. What kind of judgment are you going to render? Perhaps a very harsh and critical judgment indeed. But nonetheless, even in matters of one's conduct, we're to judge. And it is to be with just judgment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, or even to eat with such a person. There has to be a judgment made in regard to those matters. Those matters of conduct and behavior. A judgment has to be rendered, but the judgment has to be just, fair, and equitable. Free from any bias that we might have. Free from any prejudice we may have for them or against them. Free of any kind of selfish motives. For what I have done with judging those, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 5. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? The point is, Paul is telling them to judge this young man and make judgments in regard to the people who engage in these actions as well. But our text tells us that we must not judge with evil thoughts. We must not judge with evil thoughts. Again, James 2 and verse 4, "Have you not shown partiality? Have you not shown favoritism? Have you not discriminated against the poor man? Because you judged with evil thoughts." To make judgment or to bestow honor and privilege and the like upon someone because he is rich and powerful is simply evil. Why would you bestow honor and esteem upon someone just because they're powerful and rich? Think about it. Is there a hidden motive? Is there some kind of selfishness involved? Are you biased toward the rich? Bias against the poor? To discriminate against others because they have the lack of things or the lack of financial means is just evil in and of itself. So to judge with evil thoughts in regard to the rich and poor, just because one has and the other does not, is to judge with evil thoughts. Just because one has and the other does not make the one who has not any less in the eyes of God than the one who has. As a matter of fact, we would say they're still men. They still put their shoes on one shoe at a time, or their pants on one leg at a time. Whether one has or one does not have doesn't change the matter. But for us, for man, it does. But why does it? Why does it? To make a discriminating judgment between the two based upon one's wealth or lack of wealth is simply evil in and of itself. To judge according to appearance is also to judge with evil thoughts. John 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Do not judge according to appearance." Pretty plain, isn't it? Do not judge according to appearance, according to one's outward appearance. Usually you can tell when the rich man comes in, he's dressed like a rich man. And the poor man comes in, you can tell because he's dressed like a poor man. And we make a judgment based upon their outward appearance. But do not judge according to appearance, because one's outward appearance has nothing to do with his heart. But one of our greatest weaknesses, I guess you might say, is to look at others and simply judge based upon their appearance. Just how they look, we make a judgment. Now, just think about judging for a moment, looking at someone and making that judgment. Is it just judgment in regard to whatever matter you have in mind in regard to the individuals you're looking at based upon their outward appearance? Is it a just judgment or conclusion or opinion you're going to arrive at about those individuals? Is it just? Is it righteous in the sight of God? That is, have you removed any bias because of their appearance? Have you removed any selfish motives you may have? Have you removed any prejudice from your mind when you make that judgment in regard to them? We all do it. It's hard not to keep from doing it. Very hard. But we're commanded not to judge according to appearance. But we're all subject to doing that. Do not judge according to appearance. You can't judge according to appearance and render just judgment. It's just an impossibility. But when we judge according to appearance, we're judging with evil thoughts. Judging with evil thoughts. To judge with evil thoughts is also to judge according to the flesh. John 8 and verse 15. Jesus said, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." Now, that last statement is elliptical. That means there's words omitted. Jesus said, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." The point is, I judge no one according to the flesh. That's the elliptical statement left out. So you judge according to the flesh. To judge according to the flesh means that you judge according to human standard. Jesus said, "I judge no one according to flesh." I don't judge according to human standard. No, He's deity. His judgment is indeed just and righteous. That's why He will be the judge come the judgment day. Because His judgment will be just and righteous. He doesn't judge according to human standard. Human standard seems to be to judge with evil thoughts. Because to judge according to the flesh, to judge according to human standard, is to judge with evil thoughts, evil motives, evil reasoning. To also judge the liberties of others is to judge with evil thoughts. As a matter of fact, we've been studying that in the book of Romans. In Colossians 2 and verse 16, Paul said, So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbath. Let no one judge you. It's in regard to matters of indifference, remember, that which we've been studying in the book of Romans, such as Romans chapter 14 in verse 3. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. In matters of opinion, matters of indifference, we're not to render a judgment. It doesn't matter to judge in matters of opinion and matters of indifference, to condemn our brother for a matter of indifference or a matter of opinion. It's to judge with evil thoughts, evil intentions, evil motives, evil reasoning. Romans 14 and verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's the one who's really the judge. We shouldn't be judging in matters of liberty, matters of opinion. God is the judge. Romans 14 and verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Let us not judge one another anymore. Absolute judging? No. Judge in regard to matters of indifference with God. Didn't matter whether one ate meat or didn't eat meat. Didn't matter whether one ate all vegetables and did not eat meat. Did not matter with God. And so if one did not eat meat, that's his liberty. That's his right. Don't judge him for it. Don't condemn him for it. So, judging in matters of liberty is judging with evil faults. We have no right to judge in matters of liberty. Everybody has liberty and freedom sometimes to make their own mind up about things and matters that are indifferent with God. To judge with harsh criticism is also to judge with evil thoughts. We read about this earlier in Matthew 7 and verse 1 and following. To judge with evil thoughts, a harsh and critical judgment. Judge not that you be not judged. And that's what's under consideration in this passage. Note that. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you used, it will be measured back to you. You're going to use harsh and critical judgment in regard to this person. Well, when you're judged, you're going to receive the same measure of judgment. It's going to be harsh and critical and unforgiving. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? You know, sometimes we use harsh and critical judgment in regard to others and their faults, but we don't use the same measure of judgment in regard to our own faults. My faults are so small, though, but your faults are so large. No, they're not. They're faults. My faults are faults. If I'm going to render harsh and critical judgment in regard to your faults, I ought to render the same harsh and critical judgment in regard to my own faults. If I've got faults in my life that need to be corrected, problems in my life that need to be corrected, I need to make correction. And when I make correction, then I'm better able to judge with a proper, reasonable, just judgment in regard to your problems or your faults. Matthew 7 and verse 5, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to judge your brother. That is, to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So get yourself right, and then you're able to make a proper and just judgment in regard to your brother to help him fix his fault. So to judge with harsh criticism is to judge with evil thoughts. And then finally, to judge in matters we simply do not know about. We simply have no knowledge of. is to judge with evil thoughts. In our reading tonight in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and following. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. Note that. Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Some of the Corinthians had brought Paul and some of his party under judgment, under unjust judgment. But how could they judge the Apostle Paul? Paul and those who labored with him in the preaching of the gospel were stewards of the Word of God. God had entrusted them with the Word, and they were faithful stewards. Because that's the first requirement in a steward for him to be faithful. He was trustworthy, reliable, and faithful in the sight of God in carrying out his mission to preach and teach the Word of God. But nonetheless, evidently there were some in the church at Corinth that brought judgment upon him and those who labored with him. But Paul said, in fact, I do not even judge myself. So, it's a small thing that I should be judged by you. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Why did Paul not judge himself? Because he may have made some judgment about himself that was not completely accurate. Because he didn't have all the information. Because there is but one true and just judge, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Note this in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 4. For I know nothing against myself. He could condemn himself for nothing. He knew nothing to condemn himself for. Note this. Yet I'm not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Why? Because he may know something against me that I might not realize. To judge with evil thoughts is to judge in things or matters you have no knowledge of. We might make a judgment about ourselves and say, well, I can be condemned in no way. Well, that's not a just judgment because, well, God might know something against us we don't recognize about ourselves. And that's the point that Paul is making here. I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. I'm not pronounced righteous by that because it is the Lord who is the judge. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 4. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Judge nothing before its time. Yes, if you don't know anything about a matter, don't render a judgment about it. If you don't know anything about a matter and you render a judgment, it's judging with evil thoughts. Judge nothing that you don't know anything about. The Lord will come and He will render the judgment, and of course it will be a just judgment. So let us judge in matters where we're supposed to judge and do it with righteous or just judgment because our salvation depends upon it. And then let us refrain from judging with evil thoughts because if we judge with evil thoughts, condemnation is going to come from that. So let's be careful in the days ahead. If you're here this evening, not a Christian, our desire is that we become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God, you have sin in your heart. We encourage you to repent, confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.